Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side. It ain't the left side.
Good evening, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode here of On the Fin Side with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets. I'm Brian Kat, NFL on Twitter. Paul is Fanatic underscore pick. It's Fanatic with a PH. We are also the official channel for the Dolphins Fan Sided Network and FinFanatic.com. Be sure to join and take a look at those sites as well. Well, Paul, I didn't think I'd be seeing your mug here tonight because we didn't have a show planned, but Big news out of Miami here today. And oddly, it's, it's a running joke. It's half true, but how much I hate doing mock drafts, and I hate mock drafts. We did one yesterday for the 7-round Dolphins mock, what we would do. Then 12 hours later, all of the picks are different. So, Paul, I'm going to throw it to you. What do you have to say for yourself?
Hey, if this is going to make Miami make those kind of trades and accumulate picks and move around in ways that don't even lose what I want, I'm going to be twisting your arm to do a mock draft all the time. Let's do this. Let's do it now.
So what a big day. And to say that caught us by surprise is an understatement. Like Paul and I talk a lot. We message back and forth text, but we don't talk on the phone a lot. So I called Paul at like 10 or whenever the trade happened and said, if you're getting a phone call from me, it's pretty important. And then I told him about the trade. Then 30 minutes later, I called him again, which is just that's like hitting for the cycle twice in baseball. So, but what an incredible trade here, Paul. I mean, just, to simplify everything for everybody, the Dolphins went from 3 to 12 to 6. So basically they've moved down 3 spots in the draft. What their net is here is they're going to take a little bit of a hit this year. They're going to go from 3 to 6 in the first round. They're also going to go from 123 in the fourth round down to 156 in the fifth. In 2022, they're going to get a third round pick from the 49ers. And in 2023, they're going to get a first rounder from the 49ers, and the Niners are expected to take a quarterback. My guess would be Trey Lance there, but we'll see in our one round NFL mock draft here tomorrow. So, Paul, I'll say your initial reaction, but what was your thought process when you heard about the trade and when you heard about the second trade?
My thought process when I heard about the first trade was, you know, we were going to find out after the fact. It was one of those people that took, like, Ian Rappaport's picture. And, you know, if you actually looked at the name, it was, like, Finns Fan 27. I couldn't believe how much the 49ers gave up to move up 9 spots in the draft. This was worse for me than what the Texans gave up for Laramie Tunsil. Because basically, they just swapped picks, and that's it. Like, for 2 additional first rounders and a third. That's insanity. That trade value is as if they moved up from like 22. It was disgusting. Like, I all I could think about now is I don't ever want to have Chris Greer on our show, because I'm afraid if we answer the phone for him, we're going to end up giving him the show, my house, and he's going to give us a sandwich, and we're going to call it a day. Like,
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I was surprised myself. And this is something we've talked about, too, on the show, where if the Dolphins move back past 8, what would it take? And we always said it would have to take at least 2 first-rounders. They got 2 first-rounders and more in that first trade. But overall, I look at, what we've talked about, and, my top two things that I've always wanted out of this number three pick was, has always been very clear, and they've been very close in terms of what I wanted. Either stay put and take Penei Sewell, or in a very close second, trade down and get at least a future first round pick. And the Dolphins got a future first rounder, they got a future third rounder, and they've got a future fifth rounder in exchange for that third pick and a fourth rounder. And another important detail here too, Paul, is the first round pick that the Dolphins traded to the Eagles to move back up to six, that's actually the Dolphins' first round pick, not the 49ers. So we're going to be rooting against the 49ers this year, just like we were rooting against the Texans this past year.
Well, and the best part of that is, Kat, when you and I talked the second time on the phone, one of the things I said was I really hope it was the Dolphins' first-round pick and not the 49ers' first-round pick, because we're going to be talking about a team that's running with a rookie quarterback versus a team that went 10-6 with a rookie quarterback, a slew of rookies last year. And let's face it, it is primed to take another giant leap forward this season. I expect Miami to be picking at the very least in the 20s this coming year. They should have been this year. Like, it's... Yeah.
Yeah, that would mean they're a playoff team. That's where we expect them to be this year. And looking here at just historically, when I saw this trade, I've brought up the 1999 trade a lot. That's something that I could have seen the Dolphins doing, and they did it in one day. In the 99 draft, Washington was picking fifth. The Bears were picking seventh, and the Saints were picking 12th. The Saints traded from 12 up to 5 with Washington. They gave up that historical entire draft and a first and third the next year. So the Washington was at 12. Then they move up to 7 with the Saints, basically give up the majority of what they got in the Ricky Williams deal, and they got the player they wanted anyway, which was cornerback Champ Bailey. They then got the future first-round pick, and they drafted offensive tackle Chris Samuels, a borderline Hall of Fame left tackle, the next year. So this is similar in terms of the draft picks that they got, and they may end up getting up the player that they were going to get at 3 anyway.
Hey, Dolphins fans, support for On the Fin Side is brought to you by Manscaped, who are the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. We've got an exclusive offer for our listeners, which is 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. Manscaped has created the best ball hair trimmer ever, the Lawnmower 3.0. Their third-generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. In addition, this trimmer comes with an LED light for a more precise shave and is waterproof to make your shower clean and easy. I now feel confident shaving my boys. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside their brand-new Perfect Package 3.0, which comes with everything you need to keep trimmed, cut-free, and smelling nice down there. Kat and I already have our Perfect Package 3.0 on the way. What are you waiting for? Your balls will thank you. Make sure you get 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code FANSIDED20. Yeah, I really think that they're going to have a realistic crack at either Sewell or Pitts at 6. I expected those top 5 picks... really in the top 4, I'm expecting those top 4 picks to actually be quarterback this year. The only way that Miami could get a little screwed here is if the Jets were to take Penei Sewell. And the reason I say that is if the Jets take Penei Sewell, that's who I'm expecting the Bengals to take at 5. So if Penei Sewell goes at 2, one of the quarterbacks will still be on the board when Miami picks. And at that point, I don't expect Pitts to slide, because I do think that there's a chance the Bengals take him if Sewell's off the board. But I want to get to one thing here. In our chat, Jack Bauer, you referenced that Greer got nearly the return, didn't get nearly the returns he should have today. Are you kidding me? He got two additional first round picks and a third for sliding nine spots, and then traded a fraction of that to come back up six spots. So he realistically dropped three spots in the draft while adding first round picks and a first round pick and a third. That's ridiculous. It's not being a lapdog. That's just common sense, and it's more than he should have gotten, in all honesty, especially the San Francisco trade.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's nuts to say dropping three spots and getting a future first and a third round pick isn't worth it. So looking at this trade, though, if we divide it up, we were both elated with the first trade, going down from 3 to 12 with the 49ers. Would you have preferred the Dolphins just left it there, or did you like them getting back up to six and what they gave up?
I liked them coming back up to six. I still, on draft day, and you and I had this conversation, I believe, off the air, but it was based on something I did in my mock yesterday. If Miami were to grab Pitts at six and Micah Parsons starts sliding and gets, you know, to that 10 to 12 range, they've got enough ammo to come up and get him. And I believe in that. And I've seen people say, like, oh, but they need an edge rusher. Guess what? Parsons could rush off the edge. He's got 4.39 speed to do it with, too. And he's got that off-ball skill at linebacker. He could be everything that they would want at that outside linebacker spot because of the fact that he can cover, he can drop, he can rush, and he's one of the surest tacklers you're going to see in this draft.
Yeah, that's for sure. And it's the Dolphins' biggest need, in my opinion, at edge. And it's a premier position. You know, I think Micah Parsons is going to be somebody Greer and Brian Flores are either in love with or they want nothing to do with. I don't think there's going to be a middle ground on that. As teams get more info on his character, which, yeah, they've got to sort all that out. And we're judging based on what we see on the field here.
Yeah, and realistically, one of the things that I will say, and this is something that we haven't really talked a lot about on here, but given the fact that Miami's got all these first round capital, et cetera, is when we look at, and I know we're going to dive into this a little bit with some of our mocks this weekend, but when you look at what Greer and Flores did last year, they went out, they grabbed young guys a little bit early for where you would have expected, that had tremendous upside and trusted in themselves to be able to coach those players up. I expect that to continue as we move forward here. I expect Flores to trust his staff and grab guys that have that high ceiling that they may not have reached yet. So just because a guy is there in the first round that's put up tremendous production in college, if they feel he's reached his full potential, they may pass on a guy, and that includes Pitts. That includes Parsons. It's if they feel that they can get more out of a guy as the potential goes up, then I can see them making that move and believing in themselves.
Yeah, and when you look at Pitts, Penei Sewell, Micah Parsons, there are a lot of players that, I mean, they have a very high amount of upside. It's whether they fit the character profile this team's looking for, because that does matter. And yeah, I mean, coaching them up is very important. And I want to see the Dolphins here really in the first round get players that are going to get on the field right away. Because look, I understood what they did last year in the first round. They drafted a quarterback and they drafted two 20-year-olds at premier positions. It doesn't surprise me that haven't gotten a lot of immediate returns out of our first round picks. But then you look at the second round with Robert Hunt and Raekwon Davis, Brandon Jones in the third, Solomon Kindley in the fourth. These were more what you see is what you get type of players. And they had a lot of success with them. So it'll be interesting to see really what road they go down here in the draft. But Paul, another thing as well is now that the Dolphins are picking sixth, and this is where it gets interesting, is I heard so many places today, and frankly, I'm shocked at this, that it may not be Trey Lance. It may not be Justin Fields at three. Daniel Jeremiah, C.K. Parrott, who we've had on for years. I heard from four or five different places, Mac Jones might be the third overall pick to the 49ers. What's your thought on that?
I've heard that too. And real quick before I jump ahead, though, thank you to Roderick Blount for that in chat. Much appreciated, man. I really do appreciate it. And I do think they'll go after Kyle Pitts as well. But for me, I think it would be the funniest damn thing on the planet, because now Miami's going to be sitting there with the sixth overall pick, and you may have either Fields or Lance or Wilson sitting there on the board because Mac Jones went third overall, a guy they could have gotten 12th overall, most likely, and they gave up the farm to go up and get Mac Jones. I would just crack up nonstop. Like, I hope, Dolphins fans, I hope you're with us on draft night, because it's going to be amazing if the 49ers traded up 9 spots, gave up 3 firsts and a third to come up and get Mac Jones when he's not even one of the quarterbacks that's expected to go in the top 5.
He could go anywhere. And I still am going to hold to my guns with Mac Jones and say, I think he's the, I mean, this is lying season to me. I just a gut feeling. I think he's the biggest liar right now. I think he's, you know, with the numbers and the character, he's nice to talk about, but at the end of the day, I think 32 teams are going to agree this is not a first round pick. That everyone else disagrees with me at that point. I think this is fool's gold, and these quarterbacks, we've seen them slide a long way. You take a look, like, for example, at Chris Sims. Chris Sims, I remember in the 2003 draft, was mocked late in the first round. He ended up going late in the third round. And we see that all the time. Look at Jacob Eason last year. Some mocks had him going in the first round. He falls to the fourth. If there's no limit to how far a quarterback can fall if that is if all 32 teams agree that we're not going to take you in the first round. So, yeah, but on the other side, if that is true, Paul, yeah, I mean, first of all, I think the Jets are going quarterback. Zach Wilson had his pro day, knocked it out of the park today. Yeah. I would bet anything that that Zach Wilson goes number two. I can't see anything other than that. But if you have if Mac Jones does go in the top five, you're going to have one of those quarterbacks fall to the Dolphins at six, like you said, probably Fields or Lance.
Yeah, no, and it's – I would have to – it's so mind-boggling to me that I can't get the phrase out that I'm trying to get out here. No, but it's – I wouldn't be shocked if Greer does it again at six and lets Carolina come forward to try to get their quarterback. If it's still on the board and creates a little bidding war between Carolina and Denver.
And that's exactly what I'm thinking there, because is if you're there at six, let's say it's even Mac Jones, if he is that popular. Again, I think he falls, but let's say that he is the guy. You may just say to Carolina here, listen, we'll give you the sixth pick for your, let's say, your second rounder this year, your second rounder next year. Otherwise, we are perfectly comfortable trading down to the Vikings, for example, at 13. They've got Kirk Cousins on the last year of his contract. And if you don't think we're crazy enough to move to 13, we just trade it down to 12. Yeah, you know, so there are a lot of possibilities. I think there is an opportunity, depending on how far these quarterbacks get foisted up the board here, to get another pick.
Yeah, no, it feels like we're watching the movie Draft Day, you know, when he's making those goofy moves at the end of the movie. I remember talking to you about it one time, going, saying, I could see a scenario where maybe, and then we both just went, nah, that doesn't happen. And here we are, you know, Chris Greer was one step away from asking for David goddamn Putney. So
let me tell you something about Draft Day. It sucked. Okay. It was insulting. It was insulting to me personally. I'll take a slight step back. Up until the actual draft day, it was one of my favorite movies ever.
And then Igor Michelle walked in and, you know, the shot. And
by the end of the movie, by the end of the draft, I almost walked out. I was so angry. And I'm looking at those things. at those trades, I'm like, that would never happen. That guy would be fired before he left for the day. Hey. Like there's nothing heroic about what Kevin Costner's character did. Whatever. I mean, I just blocked it out of my memory. Where basically he trades up from 7 to 1.
And took Micah Parsons.
And then he takes a player who in the movie they said he's probably a second rounder. Like no. I mean,
he wasn't. He was projected like 6th overall.
I don't think so. They said at one point in the movie, he might fall to the second round. I know that. So I don't. There's nothing noble about what he did. It was a stupid thing. Anyway, I could go on a rant.
This is what people tune in for, to watch us fight about the movie Draft Day.
So Paul, let's go over a couple more scenarios here before we sign Pitts. Off here.
Oh, sorry.
here's what I think is going to happen is it's going to cause a food fight between us really on draft day, especially because, you know, I'm going to be having a few beers too. So I think the quarterbacks are going to go top 4. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields go top 4. Then at number 5, the Bengals surprise everyone, take Ja'Marr Chase. Well, not a huge surprise.
It's not that surprising.
Yeah, not that surprising. And then at 6, the Dolphins are going to be having to decide between Kyle Pitts, Penei Sewell, and all the other receivers, Devontae Smith and Jaylen Waddle. That's going to be a tense 10 minutes. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, that's good. And I wouldn't be shocked if they slide back and make it a tense 30 minutes for us here. You know, it's – man, Greer could literally do anything.
And the reason I say the Panthers is because Matt Rhule has been very outspoken for the Panthers that he needs a quarterback. He's not even hiding it. And if you go back in with Teddy Bridgewater this year, you're going to win 6 or 7 games again. And – I don't see how he's not going to get Deshaun Watson with what's going on out there. There are no upgrades available at quarterback. Maybe Jimmy Garoppolo becomes available now, but I don't think that's curing anything. And I think they're almost pot committed to getting a quarterback if one falls to 6 to the Dolphins. I really believe that. So we may not see the end of it.
Yeah, no, I Greer likes to move all over the draft, and guys, I agree with you in chat. You know, it's Cat is a grumpy old man. If you agree with me, go ahead and click the like button right now. Make sure you guys subscribe to us out there, leave us reviews out on iTunes and all that. But yeah, Cat's a grumpy old man. Click like if you agree.
I'm not sure what my first words were as a baby, but I think it was me complaining about my parents being late to the early bird special.
I think it was a gesture, to be honest with you. I think it was a gesture, which we won't do here because we're a family show now. Sorry, we love you anyway, Cat.
One time I'm just going to turn heel and just start shouting obscenities. Might be on draft day.
Dude, I got the chair. We can start swinging it.
Yeah. So, Paul, really good day here for the Dolphins. So, I'm to go back on what we said before. I mean, it was an A-plus trade down from 3 to 12. I would have preferred that they didn't trade back up to 6, but I get it. Like, I'm not complaining about that at all, because now you have the opportunity to really get a player you probably would have gotten at 3, and that's not the case if you stay at 12. It was appetizing to possibly have first round picks in 2022 and 2023. But I mean, it takes the grade for me for the day from an A-plus down to an A. So I'm overall very happy with what happened today.
Yeah. I'm going to withhold my overall grade for it. For me, it is in the A range, based on what they do. And here's my thought. Like, you can stock up on first round picks, and yes, there is a very good chance you're going to get some good players out of that. There's a very good chance you're going to get a few washouts out of that. But if Miami has somebody in mind that they view as undoubtedly will be there at 6, but probably won't be there at 12, that they think is a difference-making player for this franchise, and I'm not just talking about Kyle Pitts. It could be Devontae Smith. It could be Jaylen Waddle. It could be Mac Jones. We don't know. But if they feel that committed to it, I would be pissed off if they sat on their butts back at 12 and hoped that whoever it was falls to them. It's I like the fact that they went up and said, look, we're going to get in position to get our guy, instead of doing what they did with Jimmy Graham decades ago when he was coming out, and they said, he'll be there next round. And then, sure enough, he went earlier than they expected, and you know, they missed out on a guy that had a pretty amazing career at tight end for the Saints in particular.
Gosh, and to elaborate on that, that was a 2010 draft there. Third round, they had a choice between John Jerry and Jimmy Graham, and they took John Jerry. And after the pick, reportedly Bill Parcells called Sean Payton, his buddy, and just congratulated on him on a great pick, because they were going to either trade back up into the third or take Jimmy Graham in the fourth. So that can be life as a Dolphins fan. And Jimmy Graham had the best 4-year run for a tight end up to that point.
What,
in NFL
what is the
history.
Lesson here, so, folks? You know, take the tight end, not the offensive lineman.
No, that's low. That's low.
No, you like I'm that? Still, I set you up for that one, Kat.
And look, I do believe too that, you know, we did our mock draft yesterday, what we would do. My pick was Penei Sewell. We're going to have a future mock draft here on what we think the Dolphins will do. And even if Sewell is there, I'm not sure what she said, probably something weird. Even if Sewell is there at six, I'm not going to tell you who I'm going to take, looking at it through the Dolphins lens, but it's not going to be Sewell. I think they've reached the point where they said, hey, look, we spent first and second round picks last year on offensive tackles, and we're not going to do it again this year. But I wish they would. I love the kid so much. So
I love him too. Don't get me wrong. It's Penei Sewell's one heck of a talent. I like another talent more, and I think our offensive line is going to develop this year.
Yeah, that's what it's about, that it's the context of where they're taken. And yeah, if you had told me a year ago today that I would view staying put, that trading down, getting another first and third round pick and taking Devontae Smith, for example, would be like my worst case scenario in this, I would say that you're crazy, because I love I like Devontae Smith more than Ruggs and Judy last year. And I just have him as the, you know, on my Dolphins board as the sixth or seventh guy. You know, I still think that's a big compliment to a player who, quite frankly, I think he's losing weight. But I mean, he might be 158 by the time he actually gets on the scale.
You know what? So here's my thing. This is actually pro Devontae Smith when I say this, even though he's not the guy I want. I think he'd be phenomenal for Miami. He plays wide receiver. There is no position in football that I could give less of a damn about what the guy weighs than wide receiver. I've said this before and I'll say it again. You could be 4'4", 300 pounds, or you could be 8'2" and 65 pounds soaking wet. If you can get open and catch the ball, there's a role for you as a wide receiver. It's possibly a pretty dynamic one if you're 8'2". But, you know, it's if you can stay healthy at that weight, I don't really care. It's if you can get off the line at that weight and get open, I don't really care. Be 170 pounds. Who cares? We're making too much of it. It's like when they say, oh, I really wanted that guy. You know what? Sarah watches The Bachelor. They just had this guy on, Matt James, that played for Wake Forest. Guy has the biggest hands I've ever seen. The guy should be able to catch a trash can, no problem. He got a shot in college and was horrible. And he still got a shot in the NFL because people looked at him. He said, wow, he looks like a tree trunk, and he's got hands this big. Like, literally, every shot the guy was in when I walked in the room, I'd see his hands and go, dude, look at his hands. The guy can palm my freaking car. Like, and he couldn't catch a football. Like, so I'll take a guy that can catch it and get open any day. I don't care if he's 170 pounds. Sorry. I went on a little soapbox there for you, Kat.
Yeah, you may have to step up your game with your comps because you've gone from you've compared Devontae Smith to somebody on The Bachelor. So, no, I'm just kidding. No, Paul didn't say that, but we rib, you know, we have fun here. I mean, Devontae Smith will cover in another episode here. I am concerned about the play strength, but he is good at the things you need to be good at the wide receiver position. The question is that play strength, going to hurt him, and is he going to hold up? Because he's an unreal route runner, an unreal separator, amazing hands. The guy won the Heisman Trophy as a wide receiver, you know. So he's somebody that, again, if he's a worst case scenario, it's deciding between an A plus and an A minus in that scenario. So a lot of fun things coming up here that we'll look at. And we'll be sure as well tomorrow to have our one round NFL mock. Paul and I are going to go back and forth. And then the day after, join us on Sunday. We're going to do our mock draft of what we think the Dolphins are going to do, not what we did yesterday with what we were going to do here. So that's going to do it here for Paul. Unless you have anything else, we're going to wrap up here.
No, just guys, make sure you click that like button. Make sure you guys subscribe. Make sure you guys follow us out on iTunes, on iHeartRadio, on Spreaker. Not Spreaker. We're off of that one now. All the different sources out there. Give us a review if it's possible. I mean, it only helps. It helps us get in front of people. It helps us be able to do this and do more episodes. And thank you guys so much for all the extra interest you guys have had in the show lately. We really, truly appreciate it. I think I'm speaking for both of us there. I think it's the one thing you and I can agree on tonight, Kat, is great day for trades, and thank you to everybody out there.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've been told I'm not the most warm and fuzzy guy. But what's exciting about this here too is about these trades is the Dolphins are going to have more draft picks. I really look forward to talking about this and talking about it with all of you here over the next 3 years with the Dolphins having all these draft picks. We really look forward to these shows and breaking down the players, and we're glad you can be a part of that. So that's going to do it for our view of this crazy day, March 26, where the Dolphins pull off two trades to go from 3 to 12 to 6. I'm Brian Kat, NFL on Twitter. Paul is Fanatic_pick. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, as well as Fin Fanatic and Fansided here. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin side.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener Salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.